Just a warning, in Lewis and Noah's review of It Chapter 2, there are a few spoilers for both movies and the novel, so proceed with caution.
Thanks for listening to Slice of Sci-Fi. This is Noah Richman.
And this is Lewis Howley.
We're talking about Chapter 2 of It. Of course, Chapter 1 of Stephen King's is where you have a group of young children that encounter their fears, encounter this terrifying, monster that tends to appear in the form of this scary clown Pennywise. All of it is wrapped up at the end of Chapter 1, seemingly neatly, but they pledge at the end of the movie to come back as adults should the evil ever arise again. And so here we are with Chapter 2, facing the evil. So you're somebody who's read the book, right, Lewis?
I have read the book, and mm-hmm. We read it fairly recently. Within the last couple of years, right after I saw It Chapter 1. And, of course, the book interweaves the two timelines, the one from the 1950s and the one with the adults from the 80s. And the movie series has taken the children into the 80s and has present time for the adults. So, and it has them each separate chronologically in the film series. So in this one, it begins with Pennywise beginning another reign of terror, as he does every 27 years or so. And so Mike, who has remained behind as the town librarian in Derry, as the designated contact person who warns the others that they all need to abide by the promise they made at the end of Chapter 1 and come back and fight off Pennywise, hopefully this time to kill him.
Right. Now, I will add, I myself have read the book too, but unlike you, I read it forever ago. I'm not sure how well I absorbed it even in the first place, because when I read it a long time ago, it was in bits and pieces. I do have to say one thing for me that stands out as a comparison with the book, though. And again, this is one of the reasons I wanted to have this conversation with you, with being a bit fresher. But my memory of the book is that it effectively is a transforms, takes the shape of whatever your deepest fear is. It can sense what your deepest fear is, and it will take that shape. And I remember in the book that shape being this evil clown on some occasions. But one thing that's been pronounced for me about both this movie and the Tim Curry miniseries is it has effectively become an evil clown. And I don't remember that being true from the book.
My recollection is that Pennywise, or it, has chosen to adopt the form of Pennywise because it's one of its favorite forms. And it can lure children in the guise of being a clown. If you think of Georgie going to the sewer, and he sees the clown in the sewer, unlike myself, who is a colorophobe and does not particularly care for clowns, there are many children who apparently like clowns and find them amusing and appealing. And so I think that it is true that it can manifest into other scary shapes, depending on people's fears, but the main thing is that it needs to generate the fear, and it can be easier to do in children who have such primal fears.
So coming back to the films themselves, then we've seen part one and part two at this point. How did you feel about part two in comparison to the first one?
I think that the first one benefits from having child actors and having children as the main characters, because children are in a position where they are completely vulnerable. There's no way for these children to leave Derry. You know, they have to face it, you know, and deal with it, because it's pursuing them, for one thing, at various times. And, you know, they're banding together. And so I think that as adults in chapter two, they obviously have the option to run away, which, you know, in the movie they do several times announce that they want to do that, you know, run away and just forget about it and let it run rampant inside Derry. But I did think that one was scarier because it involved kids. And the kids were the victims of bullying and a lot of violence as well. So it wasn't just Pennywise who was the threat to them. It was the fact that they were the losers. They were not the popular kids. And it's a whole different world for unpopular kids than it is for kids who fit in and get along.
So I'm going to say for myself, I have not seen part one for a couple years now. I saw it when it was in the theater. But I remember thinking that it seemed fairly tight. Like, I really felt like it drew me right in. It took me into this sense, into this world of these characters, and into this sense of terror. And I thought that the jump scares were really just right to create something that was sort of a fun roller coaster ride, but was also kind of a freaky experience. Right off the bat with this new one, to me it felt too over the top, to where not only was it not scary, but it left me scratching my head whether it was trying to be scary or funny. And while once we got over the first few scenes, once the film started, got going, there were some pretty scary sequences again, reminiscent of the first film. I felt like somehow this didn't cohere as well. To me, it seemed like it was a little more narratively all over the place. It didn't have quite the same sort of pacing. And also by the end of it, I felt like it had just gone so overboard that I wouldn't even call it a horror film anymore by the time it's done. It felt like I was watching some kind of sci-fi fantasy about, you know, some fighting some astral evil. It lost the horror aspect for me. So there was still plenty that I found enjoyable. But on the whole, I would have to say I was disappointed by this part two, especially as a follow-up to the first one. Again, the caveat being I haven't seen the first one in a while. But I'm kind of curious how the experience was for you and as far as all that goes.
Well, I agree with you that the movie seemed confused about what focus it wanted to take, not only just in terms of whether it wanted to be a comedy or a horror film, but also whether it wanted to be some kind of band of brothers fighting off evil, which you alluded to, almost like kind of a Goonies adventure film in the end. And it was very, because it was confused in that respect, I think it did lack the cohesiveness that it needed to be driven in a straightforward way. I will say, too, that the first movie benefited from the revelation of it, that the children had to find out for themselves that what they had always maybe imagined in their nightmares was actually really happening, and that there was no real recourse for them with adults. And so it was such a revelation to them. And as adults now, they're somewhat jaded. Their lives are frankly not very connected. And I think the movie also loses pace when it has each of them go off on their own adventure, trying to recall the past, which the book does as well. And that has its own issues in the book. But in the movie, it doesn't play out well. It just seems to slow the movie down. And again, you're just like whipped from one scenario to another with no real sense of where is this going.
So did you have any overall thoughts about the film outside of that?
I will say that I did think that the visual effects were very well done. The scares were scary. There were some good jump scares. I thought that the makeup on Pennywise was excellent. I thought that they were a little too obsessed with having scares that involved arachnoid-type creatures, although most people do have kind of a primal fear of spiders, especially large spiders.
Well, and that would be true of how the book wrapped up.
Oh, yeah, because it had manifested itself really as a spider. And in the book, it lays a bunch of eggs, you know, which have to be killed as well. But not so in this movie. And that's a little bit of a spoiler, I suppose. No eggs.
Yeah.
You know, but...
I will say, definitely one of the complaints I have about this movie is I thought the ending really wrapped everything up way too neatly.
Oh, yes. It was what I often call a typical American ending, which is that American audiences don't like sad endings. And there is a recurrent joke throughout this movie where they're saying that Bill Denbrough, who is the stand-in for Stephen King as a writer of horror novels, now can't really produce a good ending. And, of course, that has been leveled at Stephen King as well, you know, that he writes a good story but often doesn't know how to end them. And I would say this definitely falls under the very, very poor ending that is not fulfilling in any way and is totally inappropriate, I think, for a horror film.
Uh-huh. Yeah, which also, again, comes back to our initial comment about it seeming a little confused about if it was a horror film even or not, like what its identity is.
I will say that I'm going to comment now on and make a spoiler notice here to talk about the one specific aspect of the ending. And that is that in the beginning of the movie, Stanley Uris commits suicide, who's one of the losers. As an adult, he commits suicide because he can't face dealing with it. And in the end, you discover, at the very end, in fact, that he has written letters to all the other losers explaining that he committed suicide because he knew he couldn't face it and he would weaken the rest and they wouldn't have been able to defeat it if he had lived. And I found that, in a way, one of the strangest justifications for suicide that I've ever read. It's certainly not in the novel. And it kind of reminded me of Mr. Spock in Star Trek The Wrath of Khan, where he kills himself, you know, but for the greater good. I forget the line, the exact line, but it's like the needs of the one are supplanted by the needs of the many or something like that. And I thought this was a really weird way to end a movie and to create a discussion about suicide. I just had to comment on that. It was very odd.
So before we started recording, you gave me a bit of a trivia about there's a scene early on where we see a film being directed, a movie within a movie. And the trivia piece that some people might not be aware of is that director is...
Peter Bogdanovich, who most famously, his only Academy Award nomination for directing was for The Last Picture Show, but he also directed Paper Moon, which is fairly well known, and various other films in the 70s like Nickelodeon. And he was a film critic before he became a director, interestingly enough. And so it was nice to see him. There's also a fairly overlong cameo with Stephen King, with a scene that could have been really almost excised from the movie, other than it gave Stephen King screen time.
So was there any other themes or trivia bits about the film that you wanted to share?
No, I will say that unfortunately with a novel of this length, you have to, obviously, since every page of screenplay supposedly corresponds to a minute of film, You know, you can't exactly adapt the entire novel except in the form of a miniseries, which I believe I haven't seen it, but I was reading somewhere today that there was an AMC miniseries of it. And that would be interesting to see, because then you could go into greater detail. So you have to pick and choose what you're going to put in a film. And so since this one was dealing with the adult parts, it diminished the domestic violence that Beverly underwent in what were very violent scenes in the movie. And in fact, she has a friend who's accosted by her abusive husband as well, and he ends up following her to Derry. And so I think that the book emphasizes that Pennywise is almost not as scary as the human violence that occurs throughout the story. And I think that in some ways, the book is almost an extended metaphor for dealing with the traumas of childhood as you become an adult. And Pennywise is just kind of the leitmotif around which that all revolves. But
all right. Well, we should probably get going. But for the one last bit of information, on a scale of 1 to 5, what would you rate It Chapter 2?
Oh, you know, I'm afraid I would have to give it an average rating, probably a 2.5 out of 5. I can't go any higher than that, I don't think.
Yeah, and actually that's exactly the number that I was going to give as well, 2.5. Yeah, it's there's some good stuff in there that carries over from what you saw if you were a fan of the first one, but somehow it's tonally, it's just not the same. It doesn't hold together as well, and certainly isn't nearly as riveting of a scare fest as I found the first one to be.
Yeah, I would say that it's a film mostly for people who are Stephen King fans and for people who've read It, the book, or seen the earlier adaptation with Tim Curry, so they could see how it's handled in this way. But other than that,
yeah,
don't bother.
All right. Anyway, I think those are our thoughts on It Chapter 2. And thanks for listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
Thank you. Bye.